Our first reading is taken from Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 20, and I'm reading through to chapter 7, verse 27, and it can be found on page 640. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are a way of life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread. The adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So if he who sleeps with another man's wife, no one who touches her will go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. But if a man who commits adultery lacks judgment, whoever so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings and as the apple of your eye. Bind them with your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Stay to wisdom. You are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you away from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed a young man, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home, now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I have fulfilled my vows, so I came to meet you. I have looked for you and found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, and he will not be home until full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with a smooth talk, and all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like the deer stepping into a noose, like an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray to her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are the mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, reading verses 27 to 30. It can be found on page 696. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than the whole of your body to go into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we say a prayer together before we look at Proverbs 6 together? Let me lead us. That passage says, "These commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light." And Heavenly Father, we know that we need that light. And so we pray that you would help us to understand what we hear now and to live in the light of what you say to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Chris, for reading that for us. And if you'd like to open that first passage, Proverbs 6, page 640, then that's what we're going to be looking at now. And we're thinking this morning about how to protect your marriage. The Bible says that marriage is a good gift from God. This book of Proverbs that we're looking at the moment says that marriage is actually part of the wisdom with which God has made the whole world. He's a wise God. And he sort of knitted his wisdom into the world that he's made, and marriage is part of that. Proverbs is saying that if we stick with God's wisdom about marriage, it's like we're cutting with the grain of the whole universe. We're kind of in tune with how the world works. And the further we move away from marriage, the further we will feel in tune with life, the more jarring life will feel. Now, that's important to us today because we live in a culture which is moving further and further away from marriage. Christians are aware of the pain and the mess that can bring, but people who are not Christians are aware of that as well. Just listen to these words. This is a woman called Josephine Hart. She writes novels. She's not a Christian. And she says this: "The idea today is that sleeping around doesn't matter. I'm not making any kind of religious point here. I'm just saying that if you sleep around with enough people, you're on the way to guaranteeing that you won't recognize deep love when it comes to you. You pay a price for it. I'm not saying it's a moral price or that it's a moral issue, but you pay a mental price, and you might just miss love when it happens." Isn't that very interesting? That's someone who's not a Christian, but what she says is sort of in line with what Proverbs is saying. Proverbs says marriage is worth protecting. And this passage today is going to help us with that. We're slowly working our way through this chunk of Proverbs at the beginning, chapters 1 to 9. Proverbs shows us God's wisdom. It's written as if it's by some parents writing to their son. So you might have noticed that when Chris read that passage out, it warns against a dangerous woman. It's because it's written as if it's to a son. But really, we should read this passage as if it's warning us against a dangerous woman or a dangerous man. Now, I'm aware that this is a painful topic for us today. It's a sensitive topic. I know that some of us here are single, some of us are divorced, some of us are bereaved, some of us are same-sex attracted, some of us are cohabiting perhaps. But God speaks to all of us here today to value marriage. He calls us as a church family to value individual marriages here in the church family. He calls us to teach the children of our church to value marriage. It might be that you're here today and you're not yet convinced about Christian things. You wouldn't say that you're a Christian. I hope you see something of the wisdom of what we're about to look at in the Bible. And if you're here and you are a Christian, especially if you were here a couple of Sundays ago, you might be thinking, well, why are we thinking about this topic again? Because we thought about it two Sundays ago. But Proverbs, in the beginning, it does deal with this topic twice. And I take it that if God says it twice, it must be important, and it must be that he wants us to hear it twice. He gives us three warnings about sleeping with someone else's spouse. Here's the first warning up on the screen. It talks about the great cost of adultery. And we're looking at chapter 6, verses 20 to 35. And the passage begins with the wise dad, and also with the wise mum this time, warning their son. Look down at verse 20. It says, "My son, keep your father's commands and don't forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever." Verse 23, "For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light." God's wisdom is going to help us. God's wisdom is going to correct us. At times, middle of verse 23, the corrections of discipline are the way to life. And how is God's wisdom going to correct us? Well, verse 24, it will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth talk of the wayward wife. Don't lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. God's wisdom will guard us against adultery. And did you notice that there are two dangers that are mentioned there? There's the obvious danger, which is beauty. It says there that we might be attracted to her curves or her long eyelashes, or if it's a bloke, his dazzling smile or his strong arms. So that's one danger, physical attraction. But it also mentions another danger, which is words, the danger of smooth talk. You and I can easily be won over by somebody praising us, flattering us, or giving us promises that we would love to hear. That can be very powerful. But beware, if we give in, if we end up sleeping with another person's husband or wife, there'll be a great cost to pay. Verse 27, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? No, you'll definitely get burned." Well, verse 29, "So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." Punishment will definitely come. In fact, it's likely that you'll get beaten up. Verse 32, "A man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he'll show no mercy when he takes revenge." You sleep with a guy's wife, he's going to be absolutely furious with you. And he may well beat you up, or worse. The news is full of stories like this. Here's a guy from Bridgend in Wales, and he burst into his girlfriend's flat a few weeks ago, and he found her in bed with another guy, and he beat them both up, and then he got arrested. Or this is a man from America, New Hampshire, and he found out that his wife was having an affair, and so he took her phone, and I guess he started texting the guy, and he used the phone to get the man to a park, and then he shot him, and then he drove 4 hours and buried him. We're wired up to want faithfulness in relationships. And people get very angry when they're wronged. Sometimes they get violent. Loads of people have been murdered down the years in crimes of passion. And Proverbs is very down to earth, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that Proverbs doesn't say, my son, don't commit adultery because God says it's wrong. It doesn't say that. It says, my son, don't commit adultery because it'll ruin your life. It's very down to earth. It's very true. Someone might beat you up or worse. And you'll lose your reputation. It's the great cost of adultery. And we need to hear that because of what the passage says next. Because it warns of the great temptation of adultery. And we're looking now at most of chapter 7. And the dad speaks again to his son. My son, verse 2, keep my commands and you'll live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Make this really precious. And the dad then tells a story to his son to warn him. Perhaps you'd like to follow along. Chapter 7, verse 6. The dad says, at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, the unwise, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. So here's a young guy, and he's out on the town one night. So I think we're to assume that he's from a believing home. And as one writer puts it, he's young, inexperienced, feather-brained. And he meets a dangerous married woman. And as we read what happens next, we should also take warning about dangerous married men. Verse 10. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intents. So imagine the figure-hugging dress and the long legs and the bare arms, and his eyes drink her in, and she's loud and she's fun and she's confident. And verse 13, out of nowhere, she takes hold of him and kisses him. She's older, she's more experienced, she takes the lead. And verse 14, she says, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet ye. That means she's been worshipping at the temple. So this is a woman who worships God one minute and then cheats on her husband the next. She's dangerous. And she overwhelms the young man with her offer. Verse 17. She says, I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Come back to my place, she says. Make love to me all night long. Verse 19, my husband isn't at home. Don't worry about him. He'll be gone for weeks. So here's this young guy from a Christian home. Maybe he's away from home studying or working for the first time. And what chance has this guy got? She's got her hands around his waist. She's whispering in his ear. He can't think straight. The comedian Woody Allen once joked, I don't know the question, but sex is definitely the answer. And the young man's wondering to himself, should I? Shouldn't I? He's sort of balanced on a knife edge. And then verse 22, all at once he followed her. He gives in. Everything he's heard at youth group, everything his parents have told him, goes out of the window. That dam of self-control bursts, and as we see in a minute, it's a disaster. It's the great temptation of adultery. And whether we're young or old, that temptation is real. One Christian writer says that we'd be wise to do the following. He says, live your life expecting that once or twice you will meet someone for whom you would give up everything. You'd give up your work, you'd give up your family, you'd give up your Christian faith just to be with this person. You find them so attractive. He admits that that's a hard idea to get your head around. But he says that there's something very real about that, to expect that kind of temptation once or twice in your life. It takes seriously the depth of sin in our hearts. I have a growing list of Christians who I know who have committed adultery and who seemingly have just thrown away their Christian life. Proverbs here is written to believers. This isn't a message to the world out there with all of its mess. This is a warning to us. Don't think that other people need to hear this, but not you. The danger is very real. It's a danger right into old age. I'm aware of a couple of retirement age who, a few months ago, the husband left the wife and started sleeping with somebody else. It's the great temptation of adultery. As we finish, we see the final end of adultery. And we finish off the dad's story to his son. The dad is describing the foolish young man giving in to temptation. Verse 22, all at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. And as the young guy follows her through the front door and up the stairs and into the bedroom, he's like an animal heading for slaughter. He has no idea. Verse 24, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Don't let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Don't look at her breasts, her hair, her beautiful eyes. No, look over her shoulder, the dad says. Can you see the doorway just behind her opening up? Can you see the steps spiraling down into darkness? Verse 26, many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house, with her king-size bed and her satin sheets, is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. The dad is pleading with his son, my son, please, see where it ends. Jesus warned in our second reading in Matthew chapter 5, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away, meaning picture language for getting rid of temptation. Jesus says it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Hell is the final end of adultery. And Jesus takes Proverbs and he takes it further, and he says even lustful thoughts are sinful. That's the level of purity that he wants. And so we need to beware of the sin in here and of the sin in people's hearts out there. Now, people who are not Christians around us might read something like this and think, well, it's just a bit of fun. But if we listen to God's wisdom, we will take care. There is a kind of woman out there, and there is a kind of man out there who are really just serving themselves. They might seem interested in you, but really they're just serving themselves. And Proverbs says, take care. I saw that when I read this book recently. It's by the film star Will Smith. He wrote a book about his life, and Will Smith has his heart broken at one point, and then he says this, I was certain that it would happen again, so I vowed never to get caught without my eye on my next love. I knew I had to be like Tarzan, catching the next vine just as I let go of the old one. So he gets hurt, and then to protect himself, he's happy to hurt others. And so he swings from one relationship to the next. And as you read the book, you see him do that. And you see him leave a whole trail of broken hearts behind him. Proverbs says, beware. There are men like that out there. and women as well. They're not serving you, they're serving themselves. It's not the path to life, it's the path to death. I think it's been good over the last 2 or 3 years to see that our country is waking up to the dangers of pornography. We're more aware now of the dangers that it brings, especially to children, but it's dangerous for adults as well. And one obvious danger of pornography is that it makes us less sensitive to sexual sin. It makes it more easy to commit adultery. Proverbs says, beware. Now, this is a painful Bible passage to hear. We're all sinners, and we're all sexual sinners. So what hope is there for sexual failures like you and me? Well, on the very first page of the New Testament, we're shown Jesus' family tree. And in Jesus' family tree, we see Rahab, a prostitute, and we see Solomon and Uriah's wife, who committed adultery. Jesus is descended from sexual failures. And Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn us. He came to save us. Just like this verse says up on the screen. It says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like you and me. And we're going to remember that and celebrate that as we take communion a bit later on. And if you're here today and you've never yet come to Jesus, well, you should. Because he offers complete forgiveness. It's wonderful. It's such a relief. Jesus came to save sinners, and he also came as our Christ, our King. And as our King, he calls us to his wise way of life, a life of purity. And you know that purity is possible. Jesus says he can help us. He can give us his Spirit to help us. So let's finish now with a prayer. And let's ask him again for his help. Let's pray together to him. Lord Jesus, we know that there is sin in each of our hearts, and we know that there's sin in the hearts of people that we'll meet in life. And we thank you that you love us enough to warn us of the dangers that we'll face. Thank you that you call us to purity and to faithfulness in marriage. We praise you for this trustworthy saying that you came into the world to save sinners. Please turn our hearts to you again this morning, Lord. Help us to know your salvation. Help us to know your help to live your wise way of life. And we pray it for your glory. Amen.